You're listening to TV Tangents, a retro TV podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. We're your hosts, Rebecca
and Natalie.
And today on TV Tangents, we're talking about one of the most popular sitcoms of all time,
Friends.
If you're unfamiliar with the show, perhaps
Where have you been?
Right? Maybe you were in a fallout shelter
or living under a rock in outer space.
You possibly weren't born yet.
That's a possibility. Yes, that could be.
We'll give a description like we do.
Yes.
Here's the full description of Friends. Watch out. It's detailed. Yes. It's a show about six 20-something friends living in Manhattan. That's it.
Yes.
That's the show.
That is the show. And that is, I believe, like the beginning episode. If you like look on the guide on TV, that's what it says.
Six friends living in Manhattan.
Manhattan.
It first aired on NBC in September of 1994.
Yep.
When I was 19 years old.
I was middle of high school. I had to have been, 16 at the time?
I didn't watch the show the first season, maybe not even the second season.
I don't remember really talking to any of my friends about it. I maybe did, but I don't really remember that happening. I don't remember talking about a lot of TV shows. And maybe I did talk about some stuff with my friends during that time. But it just, I remember loving the show. As I got a little older, once I got out of high school and it was still on, and then other friends, you know, once we were in college, it was a little bit more pronounced and I would talk about it with other people. And
well, when I could relate to it. I couldn't really relate to it my first year of college. I was living with my parents. Mm-hmm. And so when the concept of the show was pitched originally, the bigwigs thought that it needed an older adult figure.
Yes.
So that they could give advice to the friends. I don't know why everyone seems to think this is needed.
Yeah.
Because, for example, the pilot of the Monkees, they wanted an adult figure, so they had a manager.
Yeah.
So the manager could, be there to kind of babysit these adult children.
Yes.
And then that didn't work out, so they lost the manager after the pilot episode.
Yeah.
So in Friends, they came up with Pat the Cop, who was supposed to give, come in and give them advice?
Right, that would even happen.
Could you imagine?
That just makes me laugh, yeah. What is he going to come in the coffee house and then be like, hey, kids,
Does he come in to get my coffee today?
So here's some advice.
What kind of life problems are you having? Does he come into Monica's apartment? That's creepy.
That would be very creepy.
Just and this cop.
That scenario would have maybe worked in the 60s because he'd have been like, hey, kids.
Yeah, hey, kids, let me give you life advice.
What'd you get yourselves into today?
You know, Pat, the cop, we're having money problems.
That's awesome. That's an awesome concept that so luckily did not happen.
I had it in my brain. I milled it over in my brain for a while. And I was like, Pat the Cop, let's see. What is this role? It's going to be like, Rachel, why aren't you getting married? Don't you love Barry?
Don't you think about this for a minute? Oh, man. That would have ruined the whole premise of the show. Definitely wouldn't have been the iconic show that it is.
Because they weren't kids.
No.
And why does everyone think a 22-year-old or whatever, however old they were, is a kid?
Right. Well, and that's true. And I think about it as I've gotten older. You think how young people are at that age. But most people, and when they started, there's an episode in the very first season where they said something to Monica. And she's like, what? I can't pass for 22? And Phoebe says, oh, maybe 25, 26. And she's like, I am 26. So they were 26-ish. Mm-hmm. They're all a few different ages by a couple years. So she would have been that old. So mid-20s. So even then, I mean, you're a few years out of college at that point. And most people are on their own. Some people are married by then, you know? So that's funny to me that that's the concept that they would need advice and that they're not adults. But
and the whole point of the show was them getting through the world.
Yeah. Learning their way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why it appealed to us when we were, me eventually when I came around and watched the show. You know, it's going through those things. And Rachel, so in the first episode, Rachel has run away from her wedding.
Yes, leaves her husband at the altar.
And she's
out a bathroom window.
She's a rich girl, and she's never been on her own, and she thinks that her dad says if she comes home, then she can have all these things. Yes. And she's like, no, I want to do it on my own. So she gets a job that she's terrible at.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that seeing her come into the normal world and figuring out.
Yeah.
Not just from a being a kid standpoint, but from a being a spoiled kid.
Yeah.
And she's like,
never having to worry about anything.
Everybody has jobs then? Mm-hmm. And
so do y'all have one of those job things? Yeah, that's pretty funny. And especially to switch so drastically. And it takes her, you know, that part where she comes and she's like, I got new boots and all these new things. And they're like, so who pays for those? Or how'd you pay for those? Oh, credit card. And who pays for that? Mm-hmm. Oh, my father.
Right.
And they end up having her cut the credit cards as like a symbolic, you know. I mean,
she could have just put it in a drawer.
Yeah. But it was great. It's like, that's kind of funny because, yeah, as spoiled as she was, it would be very difficult to do that. But she really, that was kind of like the epitome of going out and being on your own and then joining people who are already doing that and struggling and trying to find their way in life. And she was the last kind of person to come in. Like the premise of that at the beginning is the rest of them have already been friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then she comes in. She has the history with Monica and Ross from high school. The rest of them had been hanging out and had, you know, the apartments close together and all that fun stuff.
And that's cool about the show is that they didn't have to explain everything in the first episode, where everybody came from.
Yeah.
And their characters, almost all of them were already well established, except for some quirks. Like, they didn't yet know that Monica was a neat freak.
Yes.
And we didn't yet know that Phoebe had a twin sister for some reason. But Phoebe had a lot of mysteries that unfolded.
Over all of the seasons,
she always had something. It was like if they thought of a funny thing, they could just give it to Phoebe because she did everything.
Yeah.
I loved Phoebe.
I loved Phoebe too. And she, had such an interesting history. And over time, it's like later on, and she's going to, you know, date the cop. And he, like, she stole his badge or found his badge. And then he ran her fingerprints. And he's like, you have a very interesting history. Once I read, and she's like, yeah, we'll talk about that later. And it's so funny. She's like with her best friends, but there's still little things apparently she hasn't told
them. That they don't know about. Yeah. Which
and was she, awesome.
So I'm confused. She lived with Monica before the show started.
Yes. And maybe up until right before Rachel. Because, she would have been by herself in that giant apartment. So again,
which was her grandma's apartment, right?
Yes. It was rent controlled.
Yeah.
She was technically subletting it from her grandma.
And then Chandler, her brother's best friend, just happened to live across the street?
Yeah,
lived across the hall.
Across the hall in the apartment. So, that's interesting that they must have, they never got into that, like how everybody came to live near each other. And then Ross, well, of course, he is like getting divorced in the very first episode. So then when he finds an apartment, it's somewhere else. Always found it interesting that he didn't try to get an apartment in that same complex. There must have just never been anything available.
A big shortage. Yeah. He did eventually get ugly naked guy's apartment.
Across the way. So that they could see into each other's apartments.
Is that a street? I assume it's a street.
Yeah.
Because I think
it's a street.
They're throwing things off the balcony. Mm-hmm. There's always
they're talking about the street down below. Yeah.
So in the first season, I was watching the first season in order because I never have in my life. And it was very interesting.
Yeah.
They don't show Joey and Chandler's apartment until like episode 6.
Oh, wow.
I was waiting. And then they only showed like Chandler's room.
Hmm.
I was waiting for them to show it. But it was almost as if they hadn't gotten to that on the set yet.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, oh, we don't know where they live. They're just across the hall. Yeah, no hallway, no apartment.
Yeah. And fun fact, their apartments in the, I don't even know for how long, were actually apartments number 4 and number 5. And then they realized that doesn't work. These guys are like on the second floor or whatever it was. And they changed to 19 and 20.
And that weird guy lives in apartment 8.
Mr. Heckles?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where is he? Downstairs?
He's below downstairs. Rachel and Monica. Because that's when he's always pounding on the ceiling, telling them they're being too loud.
Yeah, and then so they start stomping, and then he dies.
And then he dies.
I love Mr. Heckles. Just true.
He leaves them all their stuff, and it's all crap.
I was watching the first time they show Mr. Heckles, the cat got loose in the blackout.
Yeah.
And he was like, that's my cat.
That's my cat.
What's his name?
Yeah. And then it seems to hate you. You owe me a cat.
I love him so much. He's so funny.
My favorite is when they do the flash. I think it's the flashback. Yeah, it has to be the flashback episode of when Joey ended up moving in with Chandler, they did a spoof on how that actually happened. And so he mm-hmm. was interviewing people, and he interviewed this guy who is like rich and his sister's a porn star and all this all like fun stuff. And he gives him the apartment. And of course, not Joey doesn't get it. So then he shows up one day, and Mr. Heckles had been at the girl's apartment complaining about something. And then he's just standing there, and he comes in. He's like, "Hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm Chandler's new roommate." And he's like, "I'm Chandler's new roommate." And he goes, "But he called me on the phone. He told me in person." And he's like, "Oh, I must be confused." And he's like, "Well, I'm going to my new apartment now." And he opens the door, and it opens. And he's like, "Huh?" And the guy walks off, and then Chandler comes out of his room, and there's Mr. Heckles, and he freaks out. And then that's the reason Joey got to move in with Chandler, because he's like, "Oh, you can blame the guy who didn't show up." And just too funny. But Mr. Heckles, yeah, I wish he had been on longer. He was super funny.
I aspire one day to be a Mr. Heckles.
To be a Mr. Heckles. I think I might be on my way to being a Mr. Heckles.
He's great.
Can get crotchety. Love, love, love Mr. Heckles. And then when he passes, it's all sad. But they go through a lot. I mean, the whole series, I mean, just like the different changes, and they do some different things throughout the apartment building too, like with Danny, who was the Yeti at first, that they fogged in the basement in the storage room. And, yeah, that's a whole other story. They go down to the storage room to get, I can't even remember what they're trying to look for, but there's apparently a universal storage room where you can just put your stuff if you live in the building, right. I guess. And so Rachel and Monica go like down there, and here's this guy who's in there, and it's dark, so they can't see. And he came back from like a mission trip or something. So he's like all hairy and has a beard. So they see him in a shadow and they think he's a Yeti. So they bug bomb him and they run. And then they describe it to, I'm pretty sure, Joey. And he's like, "Oh, you fogged Danny." And they're like, "Who's Danny?" So he lives in the building, and Rachel ends up like dating him. Until she realizes that he takes baths with his sister.
That guy.
So, yeah. So, like, there's some fun stuff in the building that happens. And, like, and then during the blackout, like you talked about, that's kind of when she met Paolo.
Yeah, who lived in the building, but was also always in Rome.
Right. And, yeah, I'm not sure if he actually did live in the building. Maybe she just came upon him, and then that was...
He came out of an apartment. Yeah,
which is, well, you know, we find out later, Paolo's not the most...
Yeah, might not have been his apartment.
Yeah, he was probably visiting a lady friend and then just hooked up with Rachel. So, hey, again, Ross, ugly naked guy who's across the street, and the buildings are close, so they would always watch him through his window, and apparently he was always naked. So they'd always report on what he was doing, like, "Oh, look, ugly naked guy's got some, you know, skates or something."
He had an ugly naked lady for Thanksgiving.
Yes, and they did ugly naked dancing.
Because I had never seen that Thanksgiving episode where it was their first Thanksgiving together, and Monica had to make dinner.
And three different kinds of potatoes.
Because their parents went to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And everyone wanted different potatoes. Ross wanted lumps in his potatoes, and Phoebe wanted... Peas and onions. And Joey wanted tots.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Okay, I'll make three different kinds of potatoes." And that whole dinner gets ruined because the blimp that, you know.
Underdog got away.
And they go up on the roof to watch it and said, "Got the keys." And she didn't have the keys. And yet that apartment was never locked any other time in 10 years.
Why was it locked?
But it's locked that day. So everything gets burned magically within, I think, half an hour. And
because they spent all that time looking for the keys, because Joey had a drawer of keys.
Yes, that's true.
So they went through every key. Yes.
Which is, again, funny, because in the very last episode, when the whole show's over, they all have to put their key to that apartment on the countertop. And it's like symbolic. So they all had a key. So how come back then they didn't know where their key was?
Because they weren't carrying their keys. Because they just walked in and out of this New York apartment with no concern for their safety.
Yes. And even they made reference to it. So, of course, they get locked out that day. But when Chandler moves in, she's like, "Okay, here's your key. You have to go out and use it." And he's like, "Apartment hasn't been locked in 6 years, but okay." And he goes out and he unlocks it.
Except for that one time.
Yeah, that we lost Thanksgiving dinner.
So they all had grilled cheese.
They all had grilled cheese and Chandler carved it.
Yeah, I feel like the way that the show is, you can watch one episode, even if you've never seen it before, and you know what's happening.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there are all these inside things that make it feel like you're hanging out with your actual
friends. Your actual friends, yeah.
Which goes back to the original name of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, when it was pitched, it was called Insomnia Cafe. And that's what they pitched it as.
I thought
and
there was a couple was, different ones.
First it was Insomnia Cafe. Then it was Friends Like Us.
Friends Like
and
Us.
And Six of One. And they finally just decided...
Friends.
Friends, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to have to be saying, oh, did you watch Friends Like Us?
Yeah.
No.
It's just Six of One.
Because you and I can say, oh, that thing with Friends. Mm-hmm. And you're not like, which friends? Who friends?
What friends?
My friends?
I know I can sit down and watch an episode today that I have seen already more than 100 times, and I will laugh as hysterically as I did the first time that I saw it, and I still do.
Yeah, we quote Joey a lot.
We do quote Joey a lot.
In the first episode, he wasn't much of a character.
Mm-mm.
He wasn't even that dumb. He was just like a bro
mm-hmm.
that was there, and then he progressively got more character to him. I think he and Rachel had the least character in the first episode. Of anybody.
Yeah, didn't quite have their quirks down or have, their
Everybody else was established.
Yeah. That's always interesting, too, because I always think, like, in the very beginning when you watch some of the episodes, they definitely, like, the friends themselves would laugh harder at what somebody said that was supposed to be funny. So you knew it was supposed to be funny. And you kind of watch that. And then over the years, as it progressed, Joey would say something that has me on the ground laughing, and Rachel just gives him the look, you know? So you're like... But in the beginning, they would have to, like, laugh about stuff so that it, like, everybody knew that was supposed to be funny.
Well, the beginning felt very stand-up-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it always started with a joke.
Yes.
And there were a lot of, like, ba-dum-bum-tsh kind of moments.
Yes.
And the show started when Seinfeld was still on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And so some critics called it Seinfeld, but not as funny.
Mm.
Because Seinfeld was on the air for like 4 more years.
Yeah.
Before it went off the air. So.
Yeah. A lot of people liked Seinfeld, and that's why they put it on that same night too, to have it.
But Seinfeld was like 30 somethings. They were, and, they weren't nice people.
No. I mean, it wasn't.
I loved Seinfeld. I watched Seinfeld at the time.
I didn't watch a lot of Seinfeld. I watched it kind of here and there. I didn't watch it as much. I had a lot of friends talk about that, too, where they're, oh, Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a little bit, but Friends was really my thing, and I really latched onto that more so.
Because they were nice people
mm-hmm.
with flaws.
Yeah. Relatable and funny. And kind of really what you did, like we were at that age where it was probably like what you kind of wished your life was.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, oh, that'd be so fun to live like that with my friends and have a good old time and be living in the city.
Well, we did hang out and drink coffee.
Yeah.
For a couple years before we could go to bars.
We did get together and it mm-hmm. might have been in my parents' house. But we did. Like, we all would hang out like that. So maybe that's why also it's so relatable. Because we did. We used to hang out in groups like that and really just chill like they did. I mean, that's what they did at the coffee house. Or they did that in Monica and Rachel's apartment. They just sat around together and talked and hung out.
But again, why did they always get the same spot? Like, how come nobody ever wanted that couch?
There was one episode, well, two actually, but one episode where they all walked into the coffee house and they're like doppelgangers. Like, you know, like it was like the exact same
people sitting
there, and they were like, huh. And they walked out, and it was just kind of like a funny moment. And then there's the episode with the bullies, the two bullies that are sitting there who end up, you know, getting into it with Chandler and Ross. And it's like a big ordeal for the whole episode. And but yeah, other than that, there's never anyone sitting there. And the coffee house is full quite often, but no one sits there.
They're all like, let's sit at a table and not this couch that faces the wall, probably.
And I had that discussion with somebody once, and then someone tried to tell me that there was a reserved sign on the coffee table and showed me a picture of it, which I'm pretty sure is Photoshopped.
Yeah, that's Photoshopped.
Because now that I think about that, and I don't know why that popped into my head, but I have to go. I mean, you hardly ever even saw the coffee table. Unless it was like when someone put their skull in there and then they're like, don't eat my skull.
Yeah.
Don't eat my cookie. Whatever. And to pick a favorite character on Friends, I'm kind of like, oh my God. I love them all in so many ways.
Mm.
And so many people I've heard over the year talk about how they don't like Ross or something. But Ross and Rachel's story, it was like I was hook, line, and sinker. I mean, I was rooting every time they had like their miss where they almost got back together mm-hmm. or whatever happened. And then there was a miss. It was like, it like broke my heart. And I just thought they belong together. So thank God, you know, with the end and everything. I don't want to give any spoilers. But it
got to be too much though. In the last seasons, it got to be, come on, just get them together.
Yeah, I guess you're kind of right. There was a few times where I'm like, and the awkward Joey Rachel thing was very awkward. That was
terrible.
It really was. And I'm glad. I mean, you kind of could tell they were going to build up to that to the very end, even though, and then, you know, like when I'm watching it at the end, I'm all hysterical, like just like, oh my God. And knowing full well, they're not going to disappoint us, right? I mean, it's going to happen, but yeah. And I guess you have to do that. I mean, it's just, again, I'm a soap opera watcher, so it's the same thing. There's always like that. They always want to keep you coming back. So they're always going to tease it. And for some people, they can't deal with that. But I was always rooting for them.
Even Tony and Angela got together at the end of Who's the Boss.
You just said Angela again. That's true.
And not even at the end. Like, in one season. And then the show was never good again.
Right.
But Friends was ending anyway.
Right.
So why couldn't we have a season where they're together?
And honestly, I think because the reason they never did was because of the way it was in the beginning. Like, that was them together. They did the whole thing. They had the relationship. It was great. And then there was this huge thing, you know, the whole cheating thing. And then you went through the hit and misses. They were on a break. But it's just, you know, on and on and on and on. And then, like, there was, like, hit and miss. And then, of course, they get together and then they have a kid. And then it's all those little things here and there. And I think because of all that and all the stuff they went through and some of the fighting and, you know, the weird fighting and yet still are the best of friends.
Should we assume that they could never have a stable relationship? We never actually saw a stable relationship.
Yeah. I mean, in the beginning, they did have one, though, before the incident, before the break.
Where they were on a break.
Yeah, where they were on a break.
But in the first episode, Ross asks Rachel if he can ask her out sometime.
Yes.
And she says, yes.
Yes.
So why didn't he?
And he didn't. And then she acted so shocked.
Right.
When she found out that he had been in love with her forever. And then
she already knew it because he was like, I kind of had a crush on you in high school.
And I knew.
Like, yeah, I know.
you thought I was Monica's geeky older brother.
Oh, I did.
Well,
I didn't have a favorite character either, although I leaned towards Phoebe. But,
yeah,
you know, when people are like, oh, are you a Monica? Are you a Phoebe? Or blah, blah, blah. I think everybody is everybody.
A little bit of everybody, yeah.
Unless you're a one-dimensional person, which we are not.
No, not at all.
We're not. But, like we were saying the other day, how I have Monica tendencies because I do have separate towels.
Yes.
For guests.
Yes. Fancy. And then fancy guest.
Like, I could be Monica if I had the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, had the energy.
Yes.
I could totally be Monica.
And I could be Monica, too. I'm very type A. When she's the wedding planner for Phoebe, that's me doing, you know, my job now. And I'm all, you know, that'd be me. I'd be like, wrap it up, wrap it up, wrap it up.
I need things to be in their place.
Oh, me too.
I need the ottoman to be where the ottoman belongs.
Yes.
But I also don't have time to make sure these things are done. Like, at work?
Mm-hmm.
I am so Monica.
Me too.
The episode I was watching, she had left her shoes out. It was the one where we discover that she's a neat freak and she had left her shoes out because she was trying to pretend like she could be spunky.
Yes.
And so she's laying in bed at the end and she's like, I'm not gonna do it, but I have to.
Mm-hmm.
And then she decides, well, I could go out there and move them and then wake up early before anyone else gets up and move them back.
Move them back out there. Yes, very. They make her uncomfortable when they're like, let's say the phone bill shows up, but you don't pay it right away. And she's like, why would anybody do that?
Why would anybody? Oh, my goodness. Why?
I love when she is talking to Chandler when they're like first they're dating and he says something to her like, you don't have to be the best at everything. And she's like, you don't know me at all. It's awesome.
I don't have that Monica quality. I do not need to be the best. I'm not competitive. Whatever.
Yeah, I'm very competitive. Like, when they're throwing the ball around and they can't, like, put it down and then she takes it over and makes it not fun anymore, as Chandler says, I can be that way a little bit, especially.
No, I can't.
And especially in my youth, playing sports, I would say that was definitely me. And
I'm more Phoebe in that way. Like, I just let I just let things happen.
Mm-hmm. I can do that a little bit, yeah, with Phoebe. I think depending, too. Like I said, we're very eclectic people, so we can be very Phoebe-esque in lots of areas of our life.
I also have some Ross tendencies, because I do have a lot of useless information. And
Yeah.
You know, why wouldn't you want to know?
Right. And when you talk about things that aren't interesting to everybody else, and then like, all of a sudden they're just like, meh. Yeah. I find myself doing that as well. I also like to make jokes when things are uncomfortable or awkward. So I'm apparently Chandler as well. And he straight up admits that. Hi, I'm Chandler. I make jokes when I'm uncomfortable.
Are you Joey? Because I say some dumb stuff sometimes.
I probably do say some dumb stuff, but I wonder... Joey-isms. Like, I say Joey-isms, so then I'm like, but I could be Joey, I guess, at times, like, thinking to myself, like, if I didn't know something, but...
No, omnipotent.
Omnipotent, Joey. You are? I'm so sorry. My favorite thing to say about that Joey says that I will use in my personal life all the time. I always say to people, well, that's a moo. That's moo.
Always. You
know, like, it's a moo point. It's a cow's opinion. It doesn't matter. It's moo.
And I forget that I'm not talking to friends, people, and they think I'm stupid.
And they think you're stupid. So it's funny because then they think you are Joey. And then you say things and then they're just like, what?
But also sometimes those people don't know the word moot either.
That's true.
So
then you just could be confusing really moo. All the way around.
It's all around moo.
Yeah. It's very moo.
It's a cow's opinion.
Yeah. And then anytime you move furniture or anything for that matter, you have to say pivot.
Pivot.
And again, people don't always get it, but that's one of the funniest things that's ever happened on Friends by far. Especially when Chandler's like, shut up.
Who did we miss? Oh, Rachel. Of course, we're both Rachel.
Yeah, we're both Rachel.
She's very sweet, and we're so sweet.
We are so sweet.
And she likes to shop.
And I can be very high maintenance. Like, I would never go camping.
Oh, no.
I mean, neither of us would go camping. We would need one of those giant Winnebagos with like a hot tub in it
in order to kind of go camping. I've been camping a couple times.
I can't even imagine.
It was like, okay, we've practiced for the apocalypse and now we're done. We don't ever have to do it again.
That is so true. And I can't even imagine trying to go anywhere without my curling iron. And my makeup, so yeah, no can do, and I don't like to be dirty, and neither one of us will get in like open bodies of water, so.
That's true.
I mean, we're very much high maintenance when it comes to that. Although Rachel was on the boat, and we kind of, it kind of depends.
She likes to ski and do rich people things.
Yeah.
So I don't relate to her at all in that way, in any way.
Yeah.
So we don't have a favorite character, and we relate to all the characters.
We do, and we have a little part of all of them, probably. And I wonder how much those cast members lent their personality to some of that stuff, too. Or the way they talked and their quirks, that they could write stuff in like that, too. That the way they could deliver lines and do different things like that, that also helped them say, okay, Joey's this guy. And then all of a sudden, oh, this would be really funny if we did this. Mm-hmm. Oh, we should make him, since he's pretty, let's make him dumb. You know, that kind of thing. And
apparently, Courtney Cox was originally supposed to play Rachel.
She auditioned for the role of Rachel.
And I cannot see that at all.
No.
But her character in Cougar Town
mm-hmm.
was more Rachel.
More Rachel, for sure.
Because she was very nice and kind of dumb mm-hmm. and liked pretty things.
Yeah.
And they just said she seemed more like a...
Yeah.
More like a Monica.
More Monica.
But I can see her as Rachel.
I mean, can you even imagine... anybody else. I mean, now, just because of the way it is and my just love for the show, I can't imagine anybody else being those characters. It just wouldn't work. It wouldn't work at all. And I know that they even said other people tried out for some of the guys' roles, too. Some famous people, I'm pretty sure. I can't even remember for sure who, but...
Well, in the first season, Ross's wife is played by a... different character in the first episode.
Yes.
Hold on.
I believe that's when she's pregnant. She announces that she's pregnant.
Yeah, she's pregnant, but it's a different character in the first episode. And then she eventually is replaced by Jane Sibbett,
mm-hmm.
who I remembered from Herman's Head. Do you remember that show?
Oh, I do a little. But
it was a show about a guy who had, like, I don't know, these people in the talking, head who would talk
yeah,
to
yeah,
him.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I do remember that.
So she played his coworker, Hedy Newman,
oh.
who was a horrible person. She was like entitled and she was awful.
Yeah.
And she was really shrill. And so when I first saw her on Friends, I couldn't get that character out of my head.
Oh, too funny.
And so it took a couple episodes for me.
For her to be Carol.
For her to be a nice person.
Yeah.
Because Carol was a very nice person, yes. even though she ran off with, what's her name?
Susan.
Susan.
Yeah.
Got married and, you know, but
yeah.
Hank Azaria was also in that show, in Herman's Head. He played Herman's best friend.
Oh.
Jay.
Interesting.
And he was a nice guy in that. And he also played Phoebe's boyfriend, David.
Yes.
Who is the person she should have ended up with.
Should have ended up with, but the way they, yeah, the ending, they had it. Love Mike, but
Mike's great,
how
but
did
he
that
was...
not... That was 10 years in the making. How did she not end up with David?
I know. Like, because I love Paul Rudd. I love him very much.
I do too.
But she
David
needed to
was
be with
the
David.
Scientist guy from scientist the very
guy.
First year.
He was scientist.
And it was always, he was always gone and back. And then they had that spark. And, oh,
so
see,
if you didn't
love story.
See it, in the first season, she meets David, the scientist guy, mm-hmm. in the cafe because he and his friend are talking while she's trying to sing. And she's like, what is so important that you
Excuse
would interrupt
me, noisy
my
boys.
Show? Yeah. And they're like, oh. Well, we were talking about, I thought you were the most beautiful woman in the world. And he thought that Daryl Hannah was the most beautiful woman. And I was like, well, no, because in Risky Business, blah, blah, blah. Was that the movie? I don't know. And
she's like, oh, okay.
And he's like, and then you started yelling.
She's like, okay, we're going to take a break. And then she goes and talks to
him. And then they fell in love. I don't know how much time passed. I assume
like
a couple weeks because they were like, I love you. And
yeah. Seems like it was maybe a week. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, it was New Year's. So
yeah.
It was Christmas when they met. And then it was New Year's Eve.
Yeah, because then like, when he's like, we got the job, it's in Minsk. And when do we leave? New Year's Day.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh. She's all sad, and then they have the New Year's Eve party.
Yeah, he leaves, and then he makes a couple more appearances over the years, and then at the very end, he comes back, but then she's in love with Mike, and
I just never always really thought that they were going to play that out at the end, that she would get with David.
Why did she pick Mike? What? I don't even remember why she picked Mike.
She wanted to marry Mike. I mean, they were in love, she was that whole spiel, but then he didn't want to get married.
Right.
And so they broke up, and then David shows up in her life.
Right.
But then
who
I guess
has
I
always
don't...
loved her.
Yeah.
And then she's like, and then Mike comes back and is like, I changed my mind. I do want to get married.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, well, if you changed your mind, I guess I'll just
then,
dump David, who's perfect for me.
Yes. And it's funny because when they got to, where were they? Barbados. And they kept talking about it and they kept bringing it up to Phoebe. And she kept, no, this is the choice. It's got to be Mike. I mean, David. So, you know, subliminally, she kept picking Mike. And I'm like, again, still love it. Still love the, you know, the premise.
It's
but
fine.
Really
fine.
Thought
just,
she should have been with David.
I'd pick the scientist guy, but then that's,
you know. Speaking of other characters, there's, and I always forget what his first name is, Ribisi.
Giovanni.
Giovanni Ribisi, who ends up being Phoebe's brother.
Mm.
On the show, and he's great as Frank Jr. Jr. And he's just funny.
He's
so funny.
An icky character.
He really is. I mean, he's really kind of like messed up at the beginning, and he's just like, he goes to stay with Phoebe at one point, and Monica and Rachel come in, and he's like, whoa. And then she talks about going to the massage parlor, and he was like, do Monica and Rachel work there?
And I wonder if the writers thought she would have a twin sister when they started the show, because... The reason she has a twin sister is because Ursula worked at the restaurant on Mad About You.
Yes.
And so I guess they thought it would be funny to bring this character from Mad About You.
Yes. Like she's already, so Lisa Kudrow is already on the show and she worked somewhere. And then they wanted to have a crossover. And I think that was kind of early on too. And maybe they, you know, when they do crossovers, they usually are trying to like help the ratings of one of the shows. Or maybe just doing something to be quirky. I guess Ursula on Mad About You, again, was stupid, always brought them the wrong food and all that different stuff. And
I loved her character on that show.
She was great. And even on Friends, she was great. Like, she, you know, shows up and Phoebe thinks when they're 30 and she brings her a present. Yeah, why do you keep saying that? Because it's our 30th birthday. Oh, no, we're 31. And then she closes the door. And she's like, wait, what? And yeah, Ursula, you said always... we're 30 and we're 31. And she's like, how do you know? Like, what do you mean? She's like, it's on my birth certificate. You have your birth certificate? Do you have mine? No, I sold it to a Swedish runaway.
Ursula is awful.
She is awful. And then she's like, oh, do you know, like, what my middle name is? Because she wanted to know if she saw her birth certificate. Yes, I do. What is it? Phoebe. That's my first name. Oh, then no. And she's great. Or, like, when their grandma passed away, are you going to go to the funeral? No, I already thought she was dead, so I made my peace with it. Ursula's great.
And Joey dates Ursula, or yeah. He tries to date Ursula in, like, the middle of the first season.
Yeah. And he, like, falls in love with her, and it's, like, all crazy. And then she's just, like, meh. Doesn't really like Joey. And then it's just going to, like, break his heart, and Phoebe pretends to be Ursula.
Who was stalking Ursula?
So it's Sean Penn, right?
Was it Sean Penn?
Yeah, Sean Penn. And he ends up, yeah, he was dating Ursula and, like, obsessed with her, mm-hmm. and then stalking her and all that. And then Phoebe gets involved with him, and it's fun. It's so funny. Because
he thought that she was Ursula.
Yeah. And then she's like, here, you can stalk me so you can get over it.
Courtney Cox's husband was in love with her, too.
That's who it was. What's his name? Yes. David Arquette.
Yeah. He was in love with Ursula.
Yeah.
And he came at Phoebe with flowers.
Yes.
But yeah. Phoebe went through boyfriends pretty quickly.
A lot on the show. Like,
but she really just, like, went out on dates, though.
Yeah, that's true. And Monica, like, was in... I mean, she probably had the most long-term relationships.
Oh, Richard.
Because she had Richard. Oh. God. And then, I mean... She dated a few times but then it's like Chandler. So then it was like she really was the one on the show anyway during that duration who had the longest just relationships. Originally
they wanted her and Joey to get together.
Yeah.
That was the original concept of the show, is that she and Joey would get together. But that's ridiculous. Because Joey can't get together with anyone.
No.
Obviously, he couldn't even get together with Rachel.
Right. And that was also very interesting because, you know, be best friends, but then it was awkward. And
that was so awkward to watch. It was, like, painful. It was like watching a brother and sister.
It really was.
I was like, ew, stop it. Stop kissing.
And that's gross. Kind of like the route they went. Like, okay, this isn't really working.
So. Well, they really thought it would. And then they had to abort that because people didn't like it.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's wrap this up really quick.
Yeah.
Okay, could you just undo all those episodes where my eyes saw those two together?
Yeah, I saw them together and it was weird.
Ross and Joey were always stealing each other's women.
Yeah.
Like, he stole, Ross stole, well, he didn't steal, but he went out with Charlie.
Right.
The scientist or whatever
and
she was.
And also Gabrielle Union's character, who I can't remember what her name was on the show, but she was moving in down the street.
Oh, yeah.
And both of them saw her at different times and helped her, like, try to move some of her stuff in and were hitting on her. And then, of course, they're both randomly telling Chandler that story independently. And he now knows that they're both going to go out on a date with the same girl. And they're in the coffee house. And, by the way, what's the girl's name that you're dating? And he says it between the two of them. They say the same thing. And he's like, bye. And then they're dating her. And that was when they went to the restaurant. And Joey showed up on the date. And they start saying things like, Ross... How many women, or how many times you've been married, or whatever? And then he says, and he's like, so you just been married the one time then? Joey, do you ever have a poster for venereal disease?
What? I mean, Joey shouldn't have ended up, like, he should have never won any woman because they were all disposable to him.
Yeah.
So, like, when he was dating, what's her name that Chandler fell in love with?
Kathy.
Yes, when he was dating Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wasn't going to be with her for very long.
No.
Not that that makes it okay.
Right.
But he wasn't going to be with her.
No.
He was just going to throw her away like Poor Joey.
I know. Poor Joey. He was kind of okay with it. Like, even when he tried to do the friendship thing, when he had the dreams about Monica. And they're like, maybe you just crave the closeness. And he's like, oh, yeah. So then he goes out with some girl and he comes back in. They're like, so how did it go? Becoming friends first. And he's like, well... And basically, he slept with her on the first date, and it was, like, her and her roommate. And they're like, Joey, what happened? And he's like, well, through the closeness. He's like, closeness, schmoseness. There was two of them. And that's the epitome of Joey. Like, that's who he is. So, you're right. He couldn't be with anybody. They had to do that. That's why when Monica and Chandler are getting married and they're talking about how to spend their money on the wedding or on a future, and Chandler describes their future home, and he's like, and we'd have an apartment over the garage where Joey could grow old. And I was like, that's exactly what it should be.
All right, well, let's wrap this up.
Let's wrap this up.
Thanks for joining us. We'd love it if you would leave a review and also follow us on Facebook. Be sure to tune in next week for more TV Tangents.